I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I could never twirl that wonderfully. And believe me, I've tried back there before I walk out. I want you to think about what it's like to be on the outside. Not just outside like in the courtyard, but you know what I mean, to be outside, to be excluded. Be on the margins, to not be invited to the table, to not be a part of the coolest social clubs in town, to know that there is somewhere you don't belong. And I bet all of us can cultivate that feeling within. Maybe you feel it now somewhere in your life. Maybe you are aware that there are places where people don't want you around. Maybe there are places like this where no one has said anything to you, but maybe you don't feel quite like one of us yet for a variety of reasons. That feeling of being on the outside, of being ignored, of being marginalized, is so painful and debilitating. It means we can never flourish into the people God has called us to be. But we live in a world that tolerates that kind of caste system. It's unofficial. Well, actually, it's not. We have designated people lower class, middle class, upper class. Upper middle class, lower middle class, lower upper class, right? We love to define who is in and who's out, and usually it's based on what they wear or how much they spend. That's a hard reality to live in when you are acutely aware that someone is above you. And that's a feeling that we have all had and probably have at this very moment. And maybe you're one of the lucky ones who is kind of riding closer to the top, but I bet you still feel that. Maybe your family, maybe your friends. See, back then, Jesus knew that there were a whole host of people who knew where they belonged. They were the wrong kind of people. They were the people you didn't have at synagogue. They were the people you didn't have at the table. They were the people you did not want to see at the pools of Siloam. They were the people you did not want to meet at the city gates. They were the people you just wanted to forget. Jesus knew that there was a whole host of those people. And he knew that his disciples played by the same rules as everybody else. You see, that's the world they lived in, just like ours, where some are in and some are out and some have and some don't. And Jesus saw in the people who were listening that they weren't quite getting it yet. That it wasn't to be a community of those who fit nicely together. It wasn't ever meant to be a community of people who played by the same rules and who looked the same and who sounded the same and who ate the same way. Jesus understood that what he came to do was to turn the world upside down and create a menagerie of souls so beautiful that it proved to the world that all the ways we divide ourselves are worthless. Wouldn't you want to live in a world like that? Where you never have to worry if you're going to be in or out. Where you never have to worry if you're going to be judged by the way you look. If you never have to worry if you're going to be judged by the way you sound. Wouldn't it be amazing to live in that kind of world? It would be. And it's possible. It's possible because we see what Jesus did. With nothing but love. He was poor. He had no home. I've been to the place, coincidentally, where he called his home, Capernaum. It wasn't his house. It was one of his friends. He had a tiny place to lay his head, tinier than any one of you have a place right now. It was nothing. But from there, he inaugurated something that changed everything. But he did it with love, with taking people in, with reminding them that they have worth and value, by giving them a purpose, by telling them that their life mattered, not just to their friends, families, neighbors, strangers, but to the universe. And that's I guess what I'm here for today too, friends. To remind you that you belong, that you're loved, that you're not on the outside, that here in this place there are no outcasts. What Jesus did was to reorient values. He said to people, your gift only is a gift if you never expect anything in return. Generosity is an outpouring of love, a response to the grace that we've been given. It never looks for what it can get, and it is certainly never based in fear. Jesus said, open your doors to everyone you once wanted to keep on the outside. And I promise you, when you do that, he said, your life will change. The life of discipleship, the life of love, the life of transformation takes us places perhaps we never expected. Around tables of outcasts, drunkards, sex workers, thieves. That's the company Jesus kept. And so if there was hope for them, friends, I promise you there's hope for you. Because I don't think any one of you are doing anything quite like those disciples did. And here we are in St. Peter's Church. If there was hope for him, there's hope for us all. In this menagerie of souls where everybody has value and worth, we are given a purpose. And that purpose is to take this feeling out into a world of gloom and paint it with colors so bright they can't deny the life in this gospel. But see, to approach a world and assume only darkness and gloom is to ignore this beauty of God and to deny its power. To be afraid of the darkness we see, to cower back in its face, is to deny the beauty of God's power that God has laid out before us. To see strangers and prisoners and to assume only problems and pain is to ignore the beauty of what God has laid out before us. What we are doing here, friends, the work we are about, setting a table where there are no outcasts and strangers, where no one claims the head of the table, but all sit around it in equality. I know it feels like a tall order, but the fact that we are here 2,000 years after this was preached means it is possible. In a world, friends, where people are hungry for love and serenity and acceptance and affirmation, a place without shame or judgment or fear, people are hungry for that. And that's what we enjoy day in and day out here. This place, this gospel that we have, this table around which we have all come to feast today, it's rooted in a love that knows no boundaries and is not impotent in the face of cruelty, but rises above and causes us to do miraculous things we never thought possible. Love is a furnace within, burning hotter and hotter, generating heat and light, energy, so much power. This love has nowhere to go but out. Nowhere to go but out there, somewhere other than staying right here where it's comfortable. We send our love out into the world and we watch it do wonders. We pour forth this love that we are given, feasting on in this bread and wine, and we pour it into other souls, and we see them walk in the newness of light. That is the power of this gospel, friends. And it's not a power just for St. Peter or St. Paul or St. Timothy or St. Phoebe. It's not just a power for those who wrote these scriptures. It is your power, your birthright today. I hope and pray that you walk out of here in the assurance of your purpose, of your worth and your value, of your divine summons to go out and bring people in to sit around a table where everybody has a place. Will you do that, friends? Will we set this table together? So the world can see that beauty's possible. Amen.